From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The president of East Timor has regained consciousness 10 days after he was shot in an assassination attempt. José Ramos Horta was attacked by rebel soldiers near his home. It was just the latest in a series of violent events in East Timor since it split from Indonesia in 1999. East Timor became fully independent in 2002. The country is now under a state of emergency, and as NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from the capital, Dili, many people there are anxiously wondering what's next.
In May and June 2006, many parts of the capital, Dili, were in flames. Rival youth gangs from the east and the west of the country went on a rampage, burning and looting at will. More than 65,000 people were forced from or burned out of their homes and found refuge in makeshift camps before an Australian-led peacekeeping force contained the violence. 2 years on, the fires are out, but the camps and the tension remain. One of those camps is here, at a Catholic school not far from the airport. Nearly 2 years on, half the families who fled their homes remain in the camps. Some 30,000 people in all, packed into simple plastic tents donated by aid agencies. Madalena De Silva lives here with her husband and 8 children. We'd like to go home, she says, but it's still not safe, especially at night. She says East Timor's politicians are to blame for the current situation. One of those political actors, President José Ramos Horta, is now recovering in an Australian hospital after last week's attack. Another has been removed from the political arena for good. They buried former Army Major Alfredo Renato last Thursday, the man accused of leading the attack on President Ramos Horta 3 days earlier. Maybe 1,000 people turned out for the funeral of a man some regard as a hero, a leader of the 2006 rebellion by several hundred soldiers from the west of the country who complained of discrimination by those from the east. That rebellion helped spark the violence that engulfed the capital soon after. Yet Renato remains popular even in death among many young people, unemployed, disillusioned, and desperate for something better. We came here today, 20-year-old Augusto says, because we believed in Major Alfredo Renato. We trusted him, and we looked up to him as someone who spoke the truth. This young man, Jom, agreed and went on to describe the major with the same reverence people here used to reserve for resistance hero Xanana Gusmão, now Prime Minister Gusmão, who led the fight against years of Indonesian occupation.
I will be reluctant to make that comparison, but for some people, I can understand how they feel.
Joaquim Fonseca is an advisor to Prime Minister Gusmão.
And I think this is a lesson that needs to be learned by this government, and it needs to be more inclusive. It needs to be addressing the real issues which are faced by the ordinary people in their daily lives.
Job creation is one such issue. In a country where 40% of the people are unemployed, where many more live on less than a dollar a day, a country where much of the infrastructure was destroyed by the Indonesians when they withdrew in 1999. Last week's attacks on the president and the prime minister have created fears the country could be headed for even more political instability. Arsenio Bano is vice president of the main opposition party, Fretilin.
The democracy is still very fragile. The society is so polarized. And it is time for political leaders of East Timor sitting together and figure out what needs to be done next.
But compromise doesn't come easily for Timor's political elite, Fretilin included, an elite that know each other intimately and often dislike each other immensely, a legacy of colonial rule, civil war, and occupation by Indonesia. Joaquim Fonseca.
Most of us were involved in the struggle. We have, you know, all different kinds of relationships. Some people were on one side, others were on the other side, and it's a habit to be suspicious. The level of suspicion is very high in the society, and this doesn't help.
Neither does East Timor's failure to reform its security forces, something that would help convince those in the camps to return home. Reforming the judiciary and enforcing the rule of law would help too, but neither has happened. And some are now wondering if the UN-backed nation-building effort here has stalled. Luis Vieira, country director for the International Organization for Migration, says such talk is premature.
This is not a failed state.
In fact, as post-conflict situations go, Vieira says, East Timor is doing better than most. And he points to the government's response to last week's attacks on the president and prime minister as proof.
The state has functioned. They went through all the procedures. The interim president and the prime minister were able to get approval for a state of emergency. So everything has worked. There's been no collapse of the government. There's been no collapse of state institutions. So I think as unfortunate as the events are, I think that it shows that a certain maturity has been accrued even since 2006.
If that newfound maturity holds, and as revenue from the country's lucrative offshore oil fields starts filling state coffers, the government may yet begin showing the people some tangible benefits of independence, benefits that have been very long in coming. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.